And greeting once again to you music lovers, thrill seekers, conversationalists all across the fruited plain. It is I, El Lelando, with talent on loan from God. Once again, if you want to be on the program, the telephone number is 800-282-2882. You can email us at... Wait. That's not what Wes says. It's not how we open the show. That's some other disabled guy's opening. All right. Sorry about that one. I think I got it now. You know, it's not usually me that does the opening, so I'm going to try again. All right, I think I got it this time. Take two. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is dimension as vast as space and timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination, is an area which we call the Twilight Zone. No. That wasn't even close. There's no way that was it. Wes, Wes could never have come up with something that eloquent. I think I got it now, though, guys. Third time's a charm. Just bear with me. I definitely have it now. All right. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall, build... No, that's Superman. Yeah, that's definitely Superman. All right, that wasn't it. Daggone it, man. Why is this so difficult? I think, I don't know, dude. Something's missing. Something's missing, though. It's something throwing me off. Like, you know, it's like I almost need someone to say something that sounds, I don't know, vaguely homosexual. You know, like taken out of context. Like something someone can say and then someone can jump right on top of them and give it to them really hard. You know? And with that, welcome to the next evolution of Man Points, where we shed the shackles of feminism, beat back the oppression of political correctness, give you our, well, I guess today it's just mine, unfiltered opinions on everything from politics to pop culture, and in the end, we find out who stands true and proud as our Man of the Week, and who's just a simple little punk-ass Sally and gets a mushroom stamped to the forehead. So crawl into your safe space, curl up in your security blankets, and prepare to be triggered. Because our facts don't give a damn about your feelings. Sitting here in the Man Points Podcast Middle Eastern Command Center is no one. Just me. Yep. Just me. Hope I'm your favorite host, everyone, because that's all you're getting this week. So if that's the case, you're welcome. Enjoy. This should be a pretty good show for you. Maybe I'll go John Lennon and break up the group and launch my own career if this goes well enough. I don't know. We'll see. But if I'm your least favorite... then you're clearly retarded. You haven't been listening very long. And I guess, hey, just hang up now. Stop listening. You already downloaded the episode, so you've contributed to the weekly numbers. So you've done all I really need. But once again, real life has gotten the best of all of us and kept us all from being able to get together and record this week. Dude, everybody had their own reason, their own excuse. It's this and that, some overly detailed reason why I can't make it to Wes's house to record. Some excuses longer than others, but I'm telling you, dude, I can sum it up pretty simply and succinctly for all you slackers out there. Basically, Wes is too busy being disabled. Mitch is too busy being a mama's boy. Chris is too busy being whipped. And Ben is just simply too busy being fat. That's right. It did not take long to get to a Ben is fat joke. I'm not going to lie. He could be outside still trying to climb the stairs or something. So who knows? Maybe that's what it is. But, hey, guys, it's just me, so buckle up. All my people, where you at? The bars up the door. Yeah, let's go, let's up. One time, go get it, it's yours. Let's shine, come on. Yeah, let's go, raise up. That's right, run with it, it's yours. Let's shine, come on. Cause we warriors. All right, guys, so like I said, it's a one-man show today. It's something that I've always kind of wanted to try and do, not because, you know, I dislike sitting around the table with the other guys. It's the most fun I have all week, but it's something I always wondered if I could do. You know, it's a little bit different when you don't have anyone else to play off of. You can't riff, right? You know, there's no rabbit trails to run down, but your own. You know, I can't say something witty, and then Wes says something witty back to me, and then we have a 10-minute discussion about it. No, it's all just me. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Maybe it'll be a good show, or maybe it'll be an absolute train wreck. But I'm the one wasting my time. If it's a train wreck, like I said before, you guys can just shut it off, so it's no skin off your back. But anyways, I hope I do the guys proud. Hope you guys enjoy the show. And I don't know, let's roll right into it. So, last night, this morning, I came to a very real realization that politics has ruined everything. And I know what you're thinking, like, Leland, of course it has. Politics is everywhere. I can't get away from it. It's on Facebook. It's on Instagram. It's on the internet, the news, the talk shows. It's in my freaking comedies on ABC. Yes, we know, Leland, politics has ruined everything. And I say no. Well, I say yes. But you're right about that. But politics has gone even further. It's seeped even deeper into our culture, and I guess for me, my subconscious, than I had even realized. I'm not even safe from it while I'm asleep anymore. I can't even dream non-political. So, last night, I had a dream. It's not as cool as Martin Luther King Jr.'s, but still mine. Might be interesting. So I had a dream, and in my dream last night was Alyssa Milano. You should all know, hopefully, who Alyssa Milano is. She used to actually be an actress, you know, before she became a political activist hack. You know, Who's the Boss, Charmed. And you know what? I'm going to give it to her. Still pretty attractive. I mean, pretty ugly and evil on the inside. I'm definitely giving you that. But, you know, attractive on the outside. So typically, when you have a dream about an actress or an actor, I guess, if you're a lady, it kind of usually goes one way, if you know what I'm saying. So I had this dream last night, and Alyssa Milano's in it, and I'm there, right? And I don't, for some reason, we were on the set of Dawson's Creek. And like, it's one of those things, like, I didn't recognize it, because I probably watched all of 3 episodes of Dawson's Creek growing up. So it wasn't something that was easily recognizable. But you know how you know things in dreams, right? Things you wouldn't know otherwise, or things that aren't even actually true. But anyways, in my dream, I knew that this was the set of Dawson's Creek, and it was filled with all these other actors and actresses there. And it was no one in particular other than Alyssa Milano. You know, they're all, you know how dreams can kind of be like nameless, faceless, but like I said, you know who they are. You know, another thing about dreams, sometimes you start to recall them, and then you remember things about them that you didn't remember before, which actually I'm doing right now. And I'm kind of definitely fuzzy on the detail, but I remember that, like, I had to talk down an airplane. You know, like the airplane was flying, and something had happened to the pilots, and like a passenger, you know, like a huge 80s trope, right? You know, the passenger has to land the plane. And so I was on the other end of the mic, on the other end of the radio, and I was talking to these people how to land the plane. I think I did a good job. I think they landed. I don't remember any like mass casualties in my dream, so it must not be that hard to land a plane. Maybe we're overpaying pilots. I don't know. Anyways, back to Alyssa Milano. So, like I said, you got a dream, and like I said, you got to, like, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, a hot actress in your dream, especially, you know, hey, for a man, it's usually going to go one way. Probably to make my wife very happy, it didn't. So at one point, Alyssa Milano, of course, couldn't resist me, and she wanted to sleep with me. And I said no. And instead, I challenged her to a debate. So Leland, given the opportunity to sleep with Melissa Lana, Alyssa Milano would rather debate her on political issues. So I remember we talked about Trump and abortion and gun rights, small government, and all this stuff. But even in my dream, I wouldn't touch that chick with a 10-foot pole. I wasn't having any of it. I guess her cold, dark soul manifested itself in my dream, and I could see that. Maybe I was seeing her aura. I don't know. I just have to assume that aura is just like, what's that color of black that like gives no light? You know what I'm talking about? It's like absolute black. Like, it absorbs light. It disappears that light. Apparently, that's how I see her soul. So yeah, not gonna sleep with you, chick. I'll just debate the issues. So thanks, politics. Has that happened to anybody else? Any of you guys out there, you know, later on in the show, I'll tell you how to contact us. Have you had a dream that was just like so far out of left field. And we've all had the dreams about like giant seagulls, you know, fighting Godzilla while your great aunt eats tamales. I'm not talking like you had a bad trip. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, just like something where like the typical stereotypical dream goes one way and it just swerves you hard and you wake up and you're like, what the crap? And you know, and it's funny, you know, with the dreams, especially if you have an interesting dream, right? So you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh man, what the heck was that? And so you start thinking about it, right? And you start trying to piece it together, and you're stitching the dream together. You're trying to remember what happened, in what order, and what happened there. And then once you kind of get it together, and you're like, hey man, that's a pretty cool dream. Man, that wasn't that bad. You know, you one thing, you try and like commit that thing to memory, right? For those like 10, 15 seconds before you drift back off to sleep, you're just like, oh, I gotta remember this. And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, I think you forget it. Well, or you do the other thing. You know, maybe if you don't challenge Alyssa Milano to a debate and it goes away, everybody was thinking, then you're just like, oh, I'm still asleep. Oh, man, I'm still asleep. You know, you try and fall right back into it. But, yeah, screw Alyssa Milano even in my dreams. I don't want to touch that chick. So continuing to open myself up to ridicule and criticism for your listening pleasure, and definitely for the guys later on when they listen to this, not only do I not have sex with actresses in my dreams, I also had a not so manly moment this week, which I'm sure is super shocking to many of you. Like, oh, say it ain't so, Leland, I can't believe that. Dude, so everybody knows, I'm out here at the Man Points Podcast Middle Eastern Command Center. It's a pretty decent little place, you know. We got recording equipment, obviously. We got snacks, keto friendly, and a pretty decently stocked beer fridge, which I'm very thankful for, and humble, but accommodating sleeping quarters. However, when Wes was drawing up the plans for it, he not only doubles as the show's architect and producer, but he was actually the actual architect of the command center. He made a slight oversight, which I guess is understandable, seeing how he only has one eye. I'm not sure why we let him design this place. That, I guess that's really on us, right? You know. Well, anyways, he left out a bathroom. Yeah, I know. You think that's kind of like, hey, you know, build a house, maybe we should have a bathroom in there. So, anyways, I'm forced to use porta johns, which I'm cool with this. You know, years in the army, deploying in the army, then years deploying as a civilian. It's basically given me a superpower to comfortably take a dump anywhere, anytime, and I enjoy it. You know, dude, I've got no problem popping a squat just about anywhere. You know what, dude, as far as superpowers go, it may not be the best, but it's still better than, I don't know, Dazzler. Yeah, better than Dazzler's power, right? Every time there's like top 10 worst comic book superpowers of all time, right? Dazzler always makes the list. If you don't remember her, she was like really crappy X-Men. That was essentially a pop star, had like long red hair, wore all white, and she sang. And I think her superpower, her mutant power, I guess, was essentially she could turn sound waves into light. That was it. Like not lasers, just regular old light. So, I mean, I guess if she screamed really loud and then turned that into light, maybe she could blind somebody? I mean, I guess like in a pinch that could work. I don't know if she ever did that in the comic books. But anyways, dude, pretty crappy superpower. So, I mean, what does she save money on not hiring a lighting guy for like her electronica shows? So, like I said, man, I have a superpower, and I'm a pro at pooping. You know, and in case you guys were wondering, everybody poops, so it's kind of useful. So anyways, all right, so a couple nights ago, and night definitely plays into it. It's important to the story. I'm sitting there doing my business, doing my thing. You know, looking on my phone, perusing Reddit, looking for interesting stories to talk about, you know, to you guys right now. And so so I get finished up, and I'm ready to exit El Baño, as our Spanish-speaking listeners would say, and I go to pull up my pants, right? So just as I'm pulling up my pants, a giant cricket jumps in between my legs and into my boxers. Now I know this from hindsight. When it happened, you know, there's a giant cricket in my pants. No, I didn't know that. So I pulled them up. You know, that's kind of what you do when you're done. Have any of you ever had a bug frantically trying to escape from under your testicles? It's disconcerting. It's actually a little scary. It's pretty startling when you feel something crawling, you know, crawling up under there. You know, like, that was there before. What's going on? So, you know, freaked out. Did what any red-blooded American male would do in that situation. And I screamed like a little girl. I pulled my pants back down as quickly as possible and, you know, trying to figure out what the heck was going on while simultaneously falling over and out of the port-a-john with my pants around my ankles. Now, I'm not completely inept, all right? So I managed to keep a little bit of my wits about me enough to just scoop my hand down into my boxers to find out what this foreign object was in there, and that's when I found out it was a cricket. So I'm not completely useless in high stress situations. You know, I got a little bit of my wits about me. And then I basically did a half naked, all retarded combat roll, and while simultaneously pulling my pants up and stood to my feet like I just jumped off the high horse, you know, at the Beijing Olympics. So I gotta say I was impressed with that part. I was impressed with myself about that part, to go from looking that silly and stupid to then ending on a perfect 10. You know, I was like, you know what, dude, you recovered pretty good, Leland. Good job about that. So I know what you're all really thinking, what you're all really hoping for here is like, I'm sorry, guys, it was 1 a.m. Nobody was out there. Nobody saw me. I know you would love for Leland to have literally been caught with his pants down, but no one saw it. It was pretty thick and thick, quick. And like I said, hey, maybe you guys are disappointed, but I'm pretty happy nobody saw me with my balls hanging out. So yeah, that's Leland's PSA for the pond already is don't put bugs under your balls, you know? And ladies, if you're thinking that this PSA doesn't apply to you, it absolutely does. Like you may not have balls, but you still got something down there, and I don't think you'd want a cricket down there. No, I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think man, women, trans, whatever you are, I don't think you want a big old bug in your pants. Is that where the term ants in your pants comes from? That would be worse. I mean, one ant you probably not even feel, but man, like if there was the amount of ants that would have made up the mass of that cricket, I'd probably be dead. So but I don't know. Maybe that's where it comes from. Anyways, but ladies, yeah, you should also be wary, because I don't think a cricket's like climbing up all in the pee hole or whatever that thing's called. But you guys are differently equipped down there. So, ooh. Something actually could go up there. So I, no joke, I used to just, all right, so when I would walk into the dark to the port-a-john, right, I would just kick the bottom of it, right? I'd open the door, and I'd kick the bottom to see if anything, like, rolls out. If you're a longtime listener of the pond, you'll remember a story I told you about, I don't know, seven, 8 years ago. It happened to me. I told the story in the pond a long time ago in a different part of the country where a camel spider was up in the teepee holder. And it touched my fingers when I reached up there. So I got used to, like, slapping the toilet paper dispenser to make sure nothing was up in there. And I would just kind of, like, I almost think maybe the Army, like, taught me that, right? Like, you kick where the bowl is. Like, maybe if there's a snake in there or something. I don't even know why I do that. But now I'm going to be checking the other side of the door, because I'm assuming that's where the cricket was, right? You know, on the inside of the door, maybe on the hinge, because I don't really look there. So, yeah, don't put bugs under your balls. And also make sure that you really check your surroundings when you go into the port-a-john, and you know you'll be okay, and you won't look like a fool like me. So moving on to stories, you know that's kind of what we do here a lot of times. In news stories, we do stuff like that. I got a story that Marshall sent us via Facebook, and it's almost like he knew. He must have thought I was going to be a Wes Leland pod. But it's just a Leland pod, so I'm still going to take the story, and I appreciate you reaching out and sending it to us, Marshall. It's definitely a Man Points approved, story. But so I just read the headline because I wanted to do a bit of a hot take, and when I say hot take is I'm going to actually read the story and just react to it as I read it. But hey, sorry, Wes, this would have been great for the two of us, but you snooze, you lose. So here's the story. It says, South Carolina horse owner finds mayor tied up sexually assaulted. So I don't even, I haven't read anything yet, but I'm assuming marijuana is involved, because we all know that weed is the drug of choice for anyone that's banging horses. So it says, in Aiken, South Carolina, authorities said a dressage horse at South Carolina Ranch was found tied up and sexually assaulted. An Aiken County Sheriff's report says the horse was found tied up Friday and appeared to have trouble walking. Good job, dude. I guess I guess if a horse has trouble walking the next day, you did good. I don't know. I mean, as far as screwing horses go, I guess that's an A plus, right? So sometimes I'm disappointed in myself. The report says the horse was examined by a veterinarian who found signs of sexual assault and related injuries. First of all, if for some reason this is the first episode you guys are listening to, again, it's just me, so maybe I apologize a little. Normally there's a bunch of other guys around the table, but more importantly, what I want you to know is that we are absolutely animal lovers, so we don't condone this type of behavior. I don't want anybody going out and having sex with a horse and then say, well, Man Points Podcast told me to do it. You know, they said they acted like it was pretty funny. So horse trainer Maringe Stuman said the ranch had been on high alert since, like, as you said, whenever there's any type of horse rape, you should probably do that. It said, right now she's quiet, she's a little bit depressed, Stuman told our sister station. He said as soon as he saw a picture of his 5-year-old horse, Joaquin, tied up with ropes, he knew she was hurt by someone. Okay, so what do you mean you saw a picture? That's an odd thing to me, that you saw a picture instead of walking out and seeing the horse. And second of all, way to go, Inspector Clouseau. My horse was tied up, not where I left it tied up, so I thought something was wrong. I mean, if I walked downstairs and found one of my dogs tied up, I wouldn't be suspectful. Like, oh, man, you know what? Dude, I think something might have gone on here. I don't remember leaving Rush tied up. I'm fairly certain I didn't tie my dog up before I went to bed last night. So yeah, that's definitely a dead giveaway. He said one was tied around her neck, the legs were hobbled, and there was a bucket that was missing that was later found over at the gate. It's big enough, tall enough to stand on and to do your business if you're going to do your business. And that's... Man, I wish I could say that I haven't read enough stories like this to be able to make comparisons and make, you know, see how they're similar. But sadly I have. And stealing a bucket to stand on and do your business seems to be a reoccurring theme. Dude, how can you... All right, so I want to say about here, now there's a picture. Dude, when they say that the horse was tied up, they don't mean just like around the neck and then to like a fence post or something. They mean that, well, that was also the case. There was also one around the neck, but they had the left front leg tied to the back right leg and the you know, front right leg tied to the back left leg. So somebody knew what they were doing. They realized, I guess that's what they mean by hobbling. I assume maybe that's the term when they say hobbling a horse. I'm not up on my equestrian verbiage and knowledge, but I've got to imagine that's what that word means. And so if you're not picturing it in your head, I guess that keeps the horse from like kicking you. Yeah, it's definitely going to keep him from kicking you, right? Maybe not keeping the horse from crossing its legs, which I'm not really sure a horse can cross its legs, but it's definitely going to keep it from kicking you, right? So, you know, if you try to kick the right leg, you know, back, the front left leg is going to hold on to it. So, I say all that to say, this was not this first dude's rodeo, right? Like, you know, he knew how and where to tie this horse up. But also, that goes to my earlier point that was like, I don't know, 45 or 60 seconds ago that most of you have probably forgotten about, but he couldn't bring his own bucket. He couldn't bring his own step stool. I mean, come on. The guy's got to know, like, well, you know, I'm about 5'3". He's obviously short because what type of tall normal man has sex with horses? So he's going to need some sort of step ladder or bucket or stool. And he's just like, ah, F it. I'll bring this rope. It's a farm. There's a bucket around there somewhere. I'll just steal one of theirs. I mean, you know, I'm already banging their horse. You know, what's wrong with using their bucket? And it's later in the story, it goes on to say, it says, pay attention. It's still the man speaking that owns the horse. Pay attention. Pay attention to where you put your stuff. Pay attention to where you put your buckets. Pay attention to strange behavior of your horses. Just don't leave. Is this kind of like him saying it's his fault? Like, you know, if I hadn't left that bucket laying around, then, you know, it doesn't say the horse's name. So we're going to name the horse. Maybe it does. No, it looks like it doesn't say what the horse's name is in this story. So we'll call her Sally. So does it seem like saying like this is like his fault that this happened to Sally? Like, you think the guy would have showed up and he's like, all right, man, I got my rope. I got my weed because, you know, nobody bangs a horse that isn't high. Got my Viagra because obviously he's a loser. You know, you're having sex with horses. Like, you know, this is not a normal person. You know, hopefully there's a bucket around there. I mean, you know, inshallah, there's no bucket. I guess it just doesn't happen. So it's a very odd thing. It makes mention in this story about how this is not the first. It doesn't say it's not the first time this happened, but it does say a similar attack happened in Delaware last year, where a 45-year-old man was arrested in charges with offenses, including animal cruelty. And I have a feeling that's a story that we covered here on the show, because, man, I wish I had a good reason for why we've covered that story. But gosh darn it, people. Like, what? I feel like we go through the same litany of questions every time a story like this comes up. And obviously, A is, why are you banging a horse? You know, as that's the first question everyone asks themselves, you know, as one does. And there's no really good answer, but why a horse? Like, I mean, are you in Utah? And there's like a severe lack of prostitutes, but there's an overabundance of horses. You know, what about goats or dogs? Just something smaller, man. Something you don't need a stepladder for. And we know it, you know, they haven't found the guy, but we know I can narrow it down, like, you know, 50% for the police. He's white. We've determined a long time ago, cruelty to animals in this fashion, a la the sexual assault fashion, is almost exclusively the fault of the white man. I will 100% get behind that. Someone else can have drug running or murder, sex with animals. Yeah, white people got that on lock. But Marshall, thanks for that story, man. You knew exactly what was up our alley. You know, what can I say? The man must be a longtime listener. What can I say? The man absolutely knows us. He knows. He knows what we like to discuss here on the show. My only, like I said, the only sad thing is that Wes wasn't in here to share and revel in the, man, I really don't want to use the word glory, because there's nothing glorious about this, but gosh darn it. Sex with horses, people. Come on, man. We're better than this. As a people, as a culture, as Americans, I know. I absolutely know that we can do better. And if you guys are hit, listen, there's a... Get off my lawn! Get off my lawn! Gosh darn helicopters. Ugh, always ruin my good time. Always ruin my good time out here. Well, you know, all right, like I said, again, thank you, Marshall, for that story. I'm pretty much stalling right now because I had another story I want to read to you guys and tell you about. But my iPad's being super slow. You know, we don't exactly have the best internet out here. For some odd reason, it's better than the internet that Mitch has in America, where he lives. But it's not better. It's not the greatest. And dude, it just doesn't want to open. And this is, like I said, when there's only one person. You know, normally there's four of us sitting here, and the story I want to talk about won't open. It's no big deal. Hey, Wes, why don't you talk a little? Hey, Chris, why don't you say something? Hey, Ben, if you could stop shoving those Twinkies in your mouth for 5 minutes, maybe you could get a word in edgewise. But that's not the case right now. I mean, for some reason, we just can't have that. You know, we can't have nice things. And hopefully I can get this thing going. All right, guys, so it looks like finally my internet decided to work. So here we go. This is a story that is near and dear to my heart. If you're a longtime listener of the pod, you know that I have an infatuation. I wouldn't call it an infatuation, but given the chance someday, I think everyone should taste human flesh. Now listen to me, just in case you're new. I don't mean like we need to cut somebody up and eat them. I don't mean we got to eat it raw. Nothing that has anything to do with, you know, getting sick or diseased or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, if it's all procured ethically, if it's cooked the right way, I'm just saying we might be the tastiest thing on the planet and we would never know. So this is a story I found that I was all gung-ho about it. And it says, man will finally drink sour toe cocktail containing his own amputated toes. It says, one brave outdoorsman will finally take a special shot of whiskey at a bar in Canada's Yukon Territory. So apparently this is the one thing Canada can do right. Containing his amputated, now dehydrated, big toe. Like I said, people, we want to procure it ethically, and we want to eat it healthily. It says, which he donated to the establishment for their signature sour toe cocktail after losing it to frostbite in February of 2018. Nick Griffiths of Great Manchester, England, lost three toes to frostbite while competing in the intense Yukon Arctic Race 2 winters ago. As he was being treated at a local hospital, the former Royal Marine remembered a strange advertisement he had seen just before the race. And it said, had frostbite? We want your toes. He said he thought it was a bit of a joke, but the ad was pretty freaking real, as the downtown hotel is always on the lookout for frostbitten toes to garnish their creepy cocktail. The hotel's bar has actually been serving up the drink, basically just a shot of whiskey with a shrunken human toe in it, since 1973. Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada. 1973. You guys have been serving up shrunken human toes. I think maybe that's where we need to have the next slacker all call. That's definitely a bar I can get behind. Any bar that freely advertises and freely sells a shot of whiskey with a dehydrated toe in it is absolutely Man Point podcast approved. So they have actual rules for this, and it says the bar has rules, and anyone who orders the cocktail, so I guess it sounds like we could just go in there and get it ourselves, you don't have to actually lose your own toe, is required to let the toe touch their lips while drinking it. It says customers are told you can drink it fast, you can drink it slow, but your lips must touch the toe. Wow, quite the poet there. They rhymed. It was awesome. Over 90,000 brave souls have completed the challenge to earn a certificate of completion, the story says. So 90,000, so that tells me they have to be reusing the toes, right? I mean, I know everybody's got 10 of them, but 90,000, I'm hoping 90,000 people, individuals, haven't lost toes and donated to this bar, because that's not even fingers, man, that's just toes. So I have to imagine that... They're going pretty green with the severed toes and allowing them to be recycled. It said, so after corresponding with Terry Toemaster Lee, the guy at the bar, I guess, that handles all the severed toes, the man mailed in his three severed toes to the downtown hotel. Dude, can you mail that? I feel like that's just... like, you can't just mail a toe in America. That's got to be a... And, dude, this is This is crossing international borders, man. You're talking about mailing it from England to Canada. What do you do when you're writing out the custom form for that? Like, hey, mate, what? That's Australian. I do horrible with accents. If you know, guys, I am the worst when it comes to accents. So we're just gonna stick with whatever comes out of my mouth. So let's go. Here we go then. Hey, governor, I'm about to mail this tow to this bar down in Canada, and I don't know right what to put on the customs form. I want to make sure that it don't get returned to sender or lost in the mail. Our lost three toes ain't got but seven of them left. I mean, dude, I get worried when my wife, like, sends me a video game, right? Like a video game back in the States, you know, to out here. Because I'm always worried some little PFC in the mailroom is going to see, like, oh, man, it says Gears of War 5 on here. I'm going to steal this. Dude, what if you read that and it says severed toes? Not that you necessarily want to steal them, but you know, dude, you know Private Snuffy. Or I guess in this case it's normal person, but it's just, you know, dude, no offense to any of our postal workers out there, but you guys don't exactly have the greatest rap out there, so I don't trust you a whole lot. But, dude, you know they're looking at this, and they have to have a morbid curiosity or just a regular curiosity. Like, hey, bro, dude, no way this is legit. Three toes. No freaking way. And he's like, I'll bet you a fiver. I'll bet you a fiver there's three toes in there. Actually, it says there's three. I'll bet you a fiver for each toe that's in there that's legitimately what's in here. You know, dude, I would be worried that would happen in my toes. My toes would never show up. I feel like I'd have to hand deliver them. So mailing toes. If anybody's curious, it says here in the story, it takes 6 weeks to mummify a new toe on rock salt before it's ready to serve. Is that according to the FDA? Like, what type of letter is out there at this hotel bar? Like, you know, the health department, right? You know, do you think these guys got an A? They're like, oh man, the finest toes in the business. I've drank three sour toes, sour toe whiskeys here. Not once have I gotten sick. I just, like, how do you even write that? Is that even in there? Like, well, hey, listen, if you know, maybe Canada really is, you know, the Great White North. It's the Great White Frontier, I don't know, where they're able to serve toes and actually have things on the book for exactly how it's supposed to be prepared. And, like, you know, like, I don't know, you go there and be like, I don't know, this toe looks a little bad. No, it's, you know, it's good. It passed, you know, you smell it, you know, you, like, you poke it or something. I don't know. How do you know if a toe's not gone bad? And, oh, geez, they got pictures of them before they got cut off. Ooh, man. These are not looking good, even though... Big Toe, Terry the Toe Master Lee said that Nick's big toe is a beauty, he added. According to the Post, the inn was in desperate need of a quality big toe as the titular toe of the $5 sour toe. It's $5. Dude, it's not even expensive. It's $5 to go to Canada and drink a shot of whiskey with a toe in it. It's $5. It said, though, the titular toe of the $5 sour toe cocktail is so sought after that it frequently gets stolen. What? Who's stealing a toe? What? I mean, why are... I guess people go there, and if they're going to order this drink... I mean, if I go there, dude, it's the first thing I'm having. You know? Dude, I want to have all my wits about me. Like, I want to remember this. But I guess I would have to imagine that's one of those things that after you've got about 10, 12 beers in you, your buddy, you know, dares you to order. And that's when you do it. And then I guess afterwards, like, oh, man, you got to take this. It's like stealing the salt shakers or like, you know, the glass from the pub you visited in England, because I always want to remember this moment. Did you know these guys are stealing this towel? And they're throwing it away. And what if they flew there? I mean, like, you know, obviously we Americans, you know, we can drive to Canada, right? Dude, what if you fly there? You're not getting that thing home. You're gonna leave it in the hotel freezer? Come on now, man. If someone donates their toe to the $5 sour toe cocktail, you can't steal that. That's stealing from everyone. That's a That's a beautiful thing. You know, what if I went all the way? What if me and Wes went on a little road trip? Obviously, I'd drive, you know, because he's blind. And we drove up there just to drink the titular Big Toe cocktail. And some douche had stolen it the night before. I would be pissed. So it says they've been without a Big Toe for some time. So, my goodness, the puns in this story are abysmal. It says, we have been without a Big Toe for some time, so his generous donation will help ensure the tradition continues. Downtown Hotel General Manager Adam Gerl said in its news release. So just last Monday night, Griffiths will be reunited with his lost digit for the first time since losing them in the ultra marathon. The Yukon Tourism Board will fly him out from Manchester to the hotel for the long-awaited drink. So that's cool. Lose your toe, but you get a free flight. Hopefully the hotel was included. I would imagine since the bar's in a hotel, they better let him stay there for free. How much of a dick move would that be? That he flies there after donating three of his toes. He has a good night at the bar, freaking does some shots with his big toe in it. He's finally reunited. I missed you so much, Big Toe. This little piggy, man, you're finally going wee, wee, wee all the way home. And then you start stumbling back to your room. You go to the front desk because you're so excited. You don't even check in the hotel first. Like, all you want to do is, you know, see your toe again and drink this drink. And they let you know that that'll be $89, right? I don't know why the Canadians now have an Australian accent. It's my go-to, guys. It's my go-to. What can I say? But, dude, they better have comped him. Better have comped him that room. So he says, I'm excited to be returning to the Yukon and reunited with my detached digit. Doing the sour toe cocktail with my own big toe will be a memory I will take to the grave. And there's a picture of him doing it. Apparently, the bar's Facebook page actually did like a big live stream about the event. I'm sure it's archived there somewhere on the internet because, you know, everything's on the internet. Nothing goes away for forever. But yeah, guys, slackers, I think I know what I'm doing sometime. You think I can talk Candace into doing that? Maybe for our next wedding anniversary, maybe we go up there on the old Yukon, do the sour toe. Dude, how many people? Dude, maybe you have to sign something, but how many people have tried to order that drink for their drunk friend and, like, told them it was just, like, a really big olive or something in there? Like, dude, someone has accidentally swallowed one of these toasts. There's no way. 90,000 people, somebody has accidentally swallowed one of these toes. It just absolutely has to have happened. Especially, dude, you know, not talking a big one, but, you know, a small toe? Like the pinky toe? Dude, someone has definitely swallowed this thing. Will you even digest that? I guess there's a bone in that, right? Yeah. Ooh. Ugh. You ever been so drunk that you swallowed a toe? Oh man! I have got to get me. I got to get there. I got to make it happen. Maybe we'll get a GoFundMe going or something. I don't know. So on the show, we make a ton of references to older episodes that were on the pod before. It's one of the things, actually, I think is the coolest things we do on the show. The continuity of all, the fact that we can make a joke to each other, and we all know, and hopefully, you long-term listeners know as well, that it's a callback to a year ago or, you know, something we talked about some, 100 episodes ago. It's definitely not something, you know, we had in the beginning. We didn't exactly have 220 episodes to reach back and touch. And something I guess I never really thought about. It happened very organically. But I'm really happy that we're able to do it. Like I said, it's not something I ever thought we'd do. I never thought we'd have that many episodes. I figured once we recorded the third episode, that was about one episode longer, than I ever thought we'd do. All that being said, sometimes I wonder if you guys do get all the references. Sometimes I think we take for granted that every one of you guys listening, and gals, have been listening for over 3 years and know what we're talking about. But hey, I know that's not the case, and there's definitely some diehard fans out there that are going to get all the little inside jokes and get everything. But for those of you that haven't been listening since episode 2, that's why I referenced episode 3. That's another reference for you veteran slackers. In case you didn't know, we didn't actually start on episode 1. Episode 1 was just Wes and Chris, and it sucked. So we started with episode 2 because that's when talent actually joined the show, which would be me and Mitch. But I digress. One thing we reference on the show a lot is you hear us talking about Keeps It Real. And that goes way back. Somewhere in the first 10 episodes or so. I can't remember exactly where it was. Funny enough, I was looking today to actually just track down what episode that was in, and we didn't even put it in the title. So it's almost like we didn't realize the gold we had at the time. So I couldn't even find the original story. If some of you are like the I don't know, like the man points record keepers, and you can tell me what episode that happened in, that would be awesome. I'm thinking, like I said, I'm thinking it's first in the first 10. So anyways, dude, you'll hear us talking about someone keeps it real. And I, shoot, man, it's one of those things, like, I guess if I had to give it some sort of definition, I would say it's when people react, well, it's not really reacting, I guess it's overreacting in a very huge way to what would or should be like a normal life situation. But more importantly than that, it's the reasoning behind that they have for reacting that way. You know, like you ask the lady, like, why did you just throw this fire extinguisher through the McDonald's drive-thru window because they didn't have chicken nuggets? Now, that's not really a rational thing to do, so I don't understand why I would expect a rational answer from them, but that's what you're looking, you're trying to put that into words, like I said, and sometimes, like, they can't even describe it. You ask them, like, why'd you do that? And they just say, I don't know, I just keeps it real. But that whole term, I'm about to tell you where it came from, just in case you haven't had the original story. It all starts in a tiny little country called Iraq with a man that will ever be etched into the Man Points podcast lore, and that is Sergeant Favors. All right, so I was a civilian. I hadn't been working out here as a civilian for very long, and I was tasked with going to another FOB to set up some equipment. So I'm going as a civilian. Obviously, we have a military escort. And, you know, I was setting up the equipment, but like everything else in this world, the military, you know, needs to do programming, add their super secret squirrel stuff to it. So you're never going to, you know, a lot of times you're not going to go there by yourself. You're going to need, not necessarily just for protection, but they got a lot of stuff they got to do for their job. You do your job, they do theirs. So we had to fly to this other base. And the guy I was going with was Sergeant Favors. He was an E5. He was, I don't know, he was a young 20s, black dude, super nice, super cool. I liked him. I worked with him on occasion and in passing, and just a really cool dude. So I was kind of psyched when I found out, like, that's who I was going to be going with. Because you never really know who they're going to send you out to do these things with. It might be, you know, some gruff, you know, douchebag E7 or somebody with no sense of humor or somebody. You know, so I was very happy that it was me and Sergeant Favors. So if you've been in the military and you've done anything that's considered like an op or anything that has to do with any type of movement, you know, there has to be, shoot, man, I can't even think of what it's called right now. You gotta have a plan, right? You know, here's what we're gonna do. Here's when it's gonna happen. Here's what could go wrong. Here's how we're gonna handle all that. So we had to go to the TOC. That's the Tactical Operations Center, for those of you not up on your acronyms. And we had to be briefed on everything that was going to go before we could take this flight and go out to this other FOB and do our mission. And so we get there, you know, whatever time we're supposed to be there, the brief's going to be at, you know, 1000 hours in the morning. So, you know, we show up there at 9:50. Favors is already there. I show up. I'm like, hey, what's up, Favors? How's things going? He's like, oh, you know, chilling, dude. Everything's going well, blah, blah, blah. We're just making pleasantries. And so they tell us that something's going on and that the briefing isn't going to happen until 10:30. All right, you know, no big deal. We'll hang out. We'll see what's going on, you know. If anyone's been in the military, especially the Army, I mean, hey, that's what you do, right? Hurry up and wait. So 30 minutes, no big deal. This is time for me just to get to know Sergeant Favors and for him to get to know me a little bit better. So we just start shooting the crap, and we're talking about stuff. I ask him all the typical questions you ask somebody that's in the military. Hey, how long you been in? What's your MOS? All this stuff. And I want to say he was in military intelligence. He told me that he was hoping to finish up that tour, and then he wanted to become a medic. Said he wanted to be a medic because he was looking for something a little more marketable when he got out. Not that military intelligence isn't, but he said he wanted to become a nurse. So we thought that becoming a medic would help further that career towards becoming a nurse. So he tells me about the different duty stations he's been at, this and that, and blah, 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 and tells me that he was really lucky and really happy that he got to go on this particular deployment, because he almost didn't get to, that he was about to make E6, and he was coming up on the recruitment trail. And he said, but, you know, thankfully, I mean, you know, hindsight, 2020, he was happy to be there. He said, but thankfully, because of his tattoos, he wasn't allowed to become a recruiter. So I initially said to him, Favors, what do you mean your tattoos kept you from becoming a recruiter? How did that disallow you? How did that disqualify you from becoming a recruiter? And he goes, oh, well, I mean, I just got, you know, some tattoos that, you know, they weren't cool with. I said, well, dude, like what? Like gang stuff? Like, you know, like gang tattoos or something? Like how they even let you in the army? He's like, no, ain't nothing like that. I said, well, dude, I've never met anyone that was denied the ability to be a recruiter because of tattoos. Like I said, if so, gang tattoos or something like that, that would have just kept you from being in the army altogether. So I said, Favors, I got to see these tattoos. And he's like, oh, no, man. It's no big deal. I said, Favors, I need to know what you have on your body. I need to see this. He's like, all right. He's like, all right, I'll show them to you. So he takes off. This is back when we're in the ACUs. So he takes off his ACU top, and he pulls up one sleeve, and it's just like, I don't know, like some tribal stuff, like super stereotypical tattoos. Nothing bad. I'm not dogging it, but I mean, he was just... Dude, it was nothing I hadn't ever seen on, you know, literally every other GI since I've been out here. So I was like, Favors, what? Come on, man. This is freaking run-of-the-mill stuff, dude. What is this, man? I know 20 dudes that have tattoos that are just like this. This isn't it. And he's like, oh, well, you know, it wasn't this one. And he pulls up his other sleeve. And on his arm, like right on his bicep, it's just like, it's like a cartoonish chick, right? So we're thinking, think 50s pinup type girl cartoon. All right, she's naked and she's straddling a bomb. All right, so she's kind of riding it like she's a cowboy, right? She's got like her right arm grabbing like the, I don't even know what you call it, right? Where the fuse is, you know? So she's got her right arm grabbing around the fuse like she's holding on, like this bomb is trying to buck her off. She's got her left arm up in the air, and she's wearing a mask, like just a black mask, kind of like, think Catwoman style, you know, just hiding her identity enough. And, you know, she's naked, straddling it. Oh, my God. Okay, you know, all right. And underneath it, though, it says, Pussy Crook. I said, Favors, what is Pussy Crook? He's like, oh, you know, it's something I want to put there. I said, Favors, what does that mean, dude? You permanently tattooed Pussy Crook on your arm. It has to mean something. I was like, dude, is this like, are you advocating for rape? He's like, oh, no, man. I was like, Favors, does this mean that if she don't give you the pussy, you go and steal it? Like you're a crook that just goes around stealing pussy? Is this about rape? He's like, no, man. He's like, look, dude, I was in the chair. I was getting a tattoo, right? I already had the girl. I already had the bomb, right? And Mystical was playing on the radio, right? And this is when Mystical was going through his rape trials. And, you know, he's rapping all fast. You can barely understand anything he says. And I just hear him, like, plain as day, clear, speaking so fast, and I hear him go, Pussy Crook. And I turn to my tattoo artist, and I go, yo, put Pussy Crook underneath this. I said, that's the great story, Favors? You heard it on the radio, and you're like, yeah, man, let's put this on my arm. I was like, Favors, that's not great. He goes, well, this, I don't think this is the one that kept me from becoming a recruiter. I said, what? You got something worse than Pussy Crook? He's like, yeah, it's probably the one on my back. I said, take your shirt off right now, Favors. He's like, oh no, I mean, you know, it's all of a sudden like, I'm gay. Like, Favors, take your shirt off. If you've got something worse than a naked chick on a bomb that says pussy crook tattooed on your back that kept you from becoming a recruiter, I'm going to need to see this. So he keeps telling me no. He's arguing with me, and I tell him, favors, you and I will never have a conversation about anything else until I see what is tattooed on your back. I have a one-track mind now, friend. All I can think about is what is tattooed on your back that's worse than pussy crook. So after about, 10, 12 minutes of freaking hounding favors, he's like, all right, fine, I'll show you. So we're in like the middle of the talk, right? You know, there's lots of other people out there. He's like, we're going to go in this other room. And he's going to show me. So we go in this other room, and so he's facing me. No. He's turned around, right? And he's got his back to me, and he takes his shirt off, and he's got his entire back. I'd say from like. From basically the top of his neck all the way to his lower back. It actually looks really good. It's like a Bob Marley cover. Like, I didn't recognize it. I'm not a big fan of Bob Marley. I look at this and I go, like, it looks good, dude. I don't understand what this is. And he's like, oh, he tells me it's a Bob Marley album cover. I said, well, dude, I don't really understand how a Bob Marley album cover is keeping you, you know, from getting on the recruitment trail. Now, mind you, he's talking to me over his shoulder. He's like, it's probably the one on my chest. I said, well, then turn around, favors. Turn around. Dude, I swear, it's like everything goes to slow motion as he starts to turn around. Freaking light from the heaven opens up and shines. And, you know, and I'll give him this on this very well-chiseled physique of a chest. And it was definitely the one on his chest. Now, from, again, top of his neck, just like basically where a T-shirt would cut off, right? A T-shirt would cut off all the way down to like below his navel. And part of it actually, you could tell the way it ran off. Like he didn't drop his pants or nothing. You could tell some of it actually ran off down his hip. Now, the entire width of his chest was... It was an angel chick and a devil chick. And the devil... Now, first of all very well drawn. I mean, when we talk about awful taste but amazing execution, this fit that to a T. This was... He didn't go cheap on this. So, like I said, we got... Yeah, it was the angel chick on top. So angel chick, wings going up his collarbone. She's, of course, naked. And she's sitting, like, on her knees. And underneath her is a devil chick going down on her. Super graphic. So detailed that you could see the devil chick masturbating. And of course, dude, I look at favors. I go, favors, what the hell is that? I was like, what? Why would you put that on your body? What in the world were you thinking? And that's when it happened. He looked me dead in the eyes and he just said, I keeps it real. I said, favors. Favors, what does that mean? That's not an explanation, dude. That tells me nothing. He's like, I keeps it real, man. I keeps it real. I said, favors, you're going to have to expound, dude. Like, I'm at a loss for words. I start to gather myself. I say, favors, what do you do when you go to the pool or you go to the beach? Like, essentially, how do you walk around anywhere in public without a shirt? Like, I'm telling you, people, there was porn. There was straight up porn tattooed stem to stern on Favors' chest. And he said, yeah, sometimes I go to the beach. I go to the pool. People get upset. People don't like it. I said, well, favors. Like what? There's kids around. What if a kid sees that on your chest? He goes, yeah. I've had dads come up to me, and they ask me to put my shirt on, say it's upsetting their children. I said, well, favors, what do you say to them? I say, F your kids. Take them to another pool. I said, what? He's like, yeah. If they don't like it, then go somewhere else. I said, favors. Okay. Like, all right. We're scaring children on the beach. We're telling, you know, mothers and fathers to go F themselves because, you know, you've got a freaking porno tattooed on your chest. Next logical question I ask him. Dude, what about girls? Like, what do chicks think about that? That can't be like a big turn on for them. He's like, oh, yeah, I know. Sometimes I go to the club. I'm doing my thing, right? I'm talking to this girl. We're doing all right. She comes back to my place. You know, it's all dark when we get in. We go to the bedroom. We do our thing. Get it on. You know what I'm saying? She falls asleep. I love it, dude. She falls asleep on my chest, right? We wake up in the morning. Now the sun is up. She got a little bit of drool around my chest, right? Because she was sleeping hard because I wore her out. She wakes up. She's like, what's that? Ah, that's right. That's right. That's what you was loving on. That's what you was sucking on all last night. That's when you were biting my nipples. Yeah, you was playing with her. I said, favors, what do you tell them? When they ask why you have this or when they get up leaving screaming, I tell them, go find another guy. I keeps it real. So that's it. That's Sergeant Favors. That's the epitome of who keeps it real. And now you know, if you hadn't heard before, whenever we make the reference of keeps it real, it's always a little salut, a little nod to Sergeant Favors. Now, I have looked many times, and I know Wes has spent a lot of time trying to find a picture somewhere online of Sergeant Favors' tattoo, because it's got to be somewhere, right? You know, you'd think this thing is somewhere floating around Reddit or Google, or someone saw a picture of this thing in today's world, right, and put it up there. But, dude, I can't find it. And I tell you what, man, when you start Googling tattoos of angel and demon going down on each other, first of all, make sure you put in their female, because there's a lot of male demons that are doing that too. You get a lot of weird stuff, but I've yet to see Favors' actual tattoo pop up. But someday I hope to find it. Someday I hope that we reach Sergeant Favors on these airwaves and he contacts the show. And because if nobody else, man, I want Wes to see this. It was an abomination. But it was a work of art. And I can only imagine what Favors has tattooed on himself since. So, yeah, Favors, man, keeping it real. Well, guys, look like it's about that time. Sally of the Week. Well, voting kind of seems out since there's just me. So I'm just going to throw out my winner, right? So we're an actual dictatorship today. So Wes is probably jealous, but I'm in charge. There's no one to vote against me. There's no one to vote for me either. So my vote's the only one that counts. So here you go. So coming to you from Long Island, New York. You know, that glorious state that gave us, what, Andrew Cuomo, Bill de Blasio, you know, failed presidential candidate, you know, charging you for your big gulp and trying to ban straws. You know, Trump? I don't know. Make your mind about if that one's a good one or not. But New York authorities are investigating the stabbing death Monday of a 16-year-old boy who was attacked as dozens of other teenagers watched and shot video of the brutal assault. The victim, Kasim Morris, and his 17-year-old friend were surrounded by a group of other teens after school outside a restaurant in Long Island. Morris died from his injuries, and the friend suffered a broken arm and injuries to his head. Officers are saying that as many as 60 teenagers watched the attack as it unfolded in a parking lot, recorded it on their cell phones, and posted it to social media. 60. 60 people watched a 16-year-old boy get beaten to death and did nothing about it. Well, nothing besides made sure they got them sweet, sweet likes and retweets by videoing it, you know, throwing it up on Twitter and Reddit and Facebook and, you know, I'm sure WorldStar. That's what you do. That's what kids are doing nowadays. Kids are more concerned when something like this is going on about wanting to capture the moment. And it's not capturing the moment, it's about getting digital affirmation. It's about getting, you know, this digital pats on the back, like, hey man, you matter. You're cool. You posted this. They're more concerned about that than stepping in and saving a human being, a fellow brother, a fellow American, a fellow person's life. 60. Dude, this is becoming surprisingly common nowadays. I mean, I think we had a couple years ago. I think one of the first and one of the worst, sadly, I guess this trumps it, times I heard about this was where a girl live streamed her friend's rape. You know, what is going on through these kids' heads? And don't tell me, and don't try to even throw up the defense of that they're kids or they don't know better, you know? No, we're talking about 16, 17 age, and this isn't even, I mean, really, this isn't even the sole problem of children. This is people. This is people, you know? We've all heard about it, the bystander effect, right? So someone's getting literally beaten to death. And what's the first thing everybody does? They pull out their phone to video it. No one even has, let alone step in and do something. Now, mind you, 60 people were there. So it doesn't say in the story how many people were involved in killing Kasim. Let's say it's 10. What if it's 20? It's 30. There's 60 of you. It doesn't matter. You could have stopped it. It probably would have only taken one or two of you to step in and do something about it. I hope everyone's tracking that my nomination and the winner of Sally of the Week is going to be all 60 of these people that watched. Now, if you are new to the show or you're not tracking, obviously, the person that actually murdered Kasim is worse. I don't know by how much in this case, but obviously worse. But we don't do that. We only have a couple of rules on the show, and the only rules we really have for Sally of the Week is that you can't nominate a murderer, a pedophile, or a rapist. That's it. Those are the only rules. Because otherwise, I mean, that's all we'd nominate every single week. We'd be talking about nothing but pedophiles, rapists, and murderers, and you know, there's not a lot of fun in that. So they're disqualified. They're I would say piece of garbage human beings, but they're not human beings. They're animals. So they don't even count. So they're ineligible for the illustrious award from Man Points Podcast. So all 60 of these, man. Like, what is wrong? Like, what are we teaching people? What are we teaching kids? I mean, I tell you what we're not teaching them and we're not instilling in them, and that's the value of human life. I mean, I don't know if it's we can blame video games or movies or television shows, or I don't know, maybe the fact that we're performing, you know, how many millions of babies have we aborted? I don't know. I mean, do we, as a society, man, we're getting closer to just where human life means nothing, and it's on full display. Where 60 people watch a man be beaten to death, and probably some of their biggest concerns, not all of them. I mean, obviously, I'm sure some were worse in the crowd than others. Was, man, do I have the right angle? Oh, man, his blood's coming out of his head from the other side. Maybe I should move around. They're more concerned about framing the shot. They're more concerned about quickly getting it posted to Twitter with the right hashtags. You know, wondering, how is this going to benefit me? How is Kasim being murdered in front of me going to benefit me? How many followers am I going to pick up from this? 500, 1,000? Man, I'm going to get so many likes. I'm going to get so many retweets. My digital clout is going to go through the roof. That's what people are concerned with. No, I mean, no one could even be bothered to use their phone for its original intended reason and call the police. No one could even do that. No one could stop filming for 30 seconds to call 911. Because I got to get that shot, man. I got to make sure I'm the first one to post it. I got to make sure that I'm the one who gets all the credit for this. Dude, it's a sad state of affairs, man. Like, stuff like this. I tell you what, some of this stuff, sometimes we have these funny, lighthearted Sally of the Week. Someone does something stupid, bonks himself in the balls. I don't know. But, man, this one hurts. This one hurts because I don't know what it's going to take for things to get better. Right? Like, so hopefully, I mean, I don't know. I hope all 60 of these people have gone home and thought about what they participated in, because they're participants. I mean, at the very least, or most, or however you want to look at it, you know, they're all surrounding this poor man. No one else can see what's going on, right? You just hear a ruckus. You know, maybe you think it's a fight. Someone's arguing, boyfriend, girlfriend. Who knows? By the way, the fight was over a girl. That's That's sad. Over a girl when you're a teenager. But they blocked other people from seeing what's going on and maybe doing something about it. Maybe making a phone call. Maybe stepping in. Man, but when you see someone, you know, man, woman, white, black, it doesn't matter what you are, what they are. You freaking step in and you help. I don't care. 1 on 10, you know, 1 on 20, you do something. You don't just stand idly by. And so, man, with a heavy heart, that's why all 60 of you all garner the title of Sally of the Week. So enjoy that one. So on a more upbeat note, if 60 of you have a video that you want to send us, preferably of like maybe a cat playing with a brown paper bag or something, I don't want to see someone brutally being beaten to death. You're going to need to know where to send it. And on Twitter, we're at Taco Bell Picasso. On Facebook and Instagram, we're Man Points Podcast. We have an email address. It's purepodperfection@gmail.com. We have a phone number you guys can call. It's 757-HIS-NUTS. That's NUTZ. That ends with ZZ Zulu. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and UITA Radio Uncensored every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Guys, if you do enjoy the show and you're getting a little bit of enjoyment out of it, and you just want to let us, you want to give us some digital affirmation, a digital pat on the back, dude, go and rate us, man. Write a review on the pod. Let us know what you think. You know, it takes less than 5 minutes, and it means the world to us. So tell a friend. Tell an enemy, tell 60 people that are better than these other ones. Whew, just tell somebody. And now, Man of the Week. All right, so for Man of the Week, once again, hey, no nominations, going straight to the winner because it is my show. We have who's about to be a two-time winner, and that is Robert F. Smith. Now, Robert is a billionaire. He's done pretty well for himself. But we talked about last May how during the commencement speech at Morehouse College, he announced that he would be paying off all student loan debt for the entire graduating class. So everyone was pretty surprised and pretty happy. So that was a pretty generous thing that he did. Well, not to be outdone by himself, he's decided to take it one step further. And now he just announced that not only is he paying off of their student debt, or already has, I assume, he's also paying off any student debt that family members of that graduation class has. So he's extending it to their family to the tune of $34 million that he just paid off. Now, I mean, that's a pretty awesome thing. You know, as far as upward mobility goes, for bettering your life, bettering yourself, bettering your family, there's really nothing, you know, there's nothing better you can do than getting an education. But sadly, a lot of people come out of college these days, you know, riddled and saddled with all this college debt. So for him to take that away from the students and then also be able to help the family members out, I mean, you want to talk about changing lives. That's a big thing. There's a lot of people that woke up the next day and a huge weight, a huge burden has been lifted off their shoulders. And, you know, nowadays, billionaires definitely get a bad rap. But Francis, Robert, I don't know why I said Francis. Francis. Robert Francis? That's like some historical guy, right? I don't know. But Robert Smith, man, dude. Making those billionaires look good. And for that, here's your second Man of the Week title. So that's it, guys. That's it. That's gas. That's it. I'm done. One man show is over. What'd you think? Once again, let us know. Let me know, did I stand true and proud and represent Man Points Podcast on my own? Or did I? Was I just a punk Sally? And I failed you guys and you never made it this far because you stopped listening 10 minutes into it. Let me know. Send me a message. Let me know. So I guess there's only one less thing to do, huh? And with that, man up. And this is the second most fun I've had today by myself. Doot, 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 doot.